The Army prepares for a more sustainable and adaptable force with the release of the Energy Security and Sustainability Strategy. The plan focuses on ways to optimize resource management and how more careful use of energy, water, and land can help the Army mission. For more on the plan, we turn to Catherine Hammack. She is the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and the Environment. Ms. Hammack, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Good to talk with you today.
All right. So tell us about this plan. How does it, I guess its main purpose is to support the Army mission, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, this week the Army's celebrating our 240th birthday. And so as the Army stands ready and continues to serve, we must be able to accomplish our missions in a world that is defined by uncertain, adverse, and dynamic conditions. And maintaining our strategic edge heavily depends on our wise use of resources, which are energy, water, and land, that preserve future choices and current choices through knowledge, technologies, and execution.
All right, so what are the elements of the strategy? How did it get to be written? I mean, how did it come to be?
Well, in 2009, the Army issued our first Army Energy Security Implementation Strategy, and that talked a lot about what you needed to do. For an instance, reduce energy consumption, increase efficiency, use renewable energy, assure access to sufficient energy supplies, and reduce adverse impacts on the environment. And that 2009 strategy has served us very well over the last 5 years. But as we look forward, we really need to talk about why we're doing this and how we're doing this, whereas the previous strategy talked about what to do. So really, why we're doing this is to inform better decisions, ensuring that the Army planning and decision-making processes fully consider both current and long-term resource implications. The second goal is to optimize use, improve productivity, invest and increase efficiency, and enhance mission capabilities. Assured access is always going to be one of our goals, reliable access to energy, water, and land to ensure our mission essential and supporting assets are available and secure by diversifying and expanding our supplies. But really, if you want to look at the foundation, it's building resiliency. We need to make sure that our installations are the light in the darkness should there be natural disasters or acts of man that require us to serve this nation in the way our citizens expect us to.
Okay, when I see energy, water, and land resources, I think of really the two sides of the Army. There's the Army as an institution that has bases and installations throughout the United States, and I guess in Europe also, other places. And then there is the deployed Army that is fighting the nation's wars, should they occur, and then in which case they are not in their bases and installations where the water supply and utilities are there as if they were. So how does this apply to sustaining the Army when it is actually in an operational situation?
Well, in an operational situation, for instance, in Afghanistan, the Army consumes 40% of our liquid fuels in generating electricity, and that is fuel that goes to supply power to generators that generate electricity. So if we look at 40% of that fuel that is being trucked by convoys through disputed territories at risk and vulnerable to attack, we can reduce our energy consumption on our bases by employing some of these strategies, whether it's increased use of renewable or alternative energy, whether it is new technologies like microgrids, or even just some standard behavior change like your mother once told you, you know, turn out the lights when you leave the room.
So in other words, the less the Army has to consume moving around, the more resilient and the more flexible it becomes.
Absolutely. And the more agile and expeditionary we can become, the more lethal and effective we are. And so that's really what this is about. This is about enhancing mission capabilities. We really want our units to be able to move out and reduce that long logistics chain that can follow them wherever they go. And, you know, this has been a challenge of armies throughout centuries, is trying to reduce your logistics. And really, one part of our new strategy is driving innovation. For an instance, our soldiers right now go out with rechargeable batteries in every one of the components they have, whether it's night vision goggles or radios or GPS systems. And they have the ability to recharge those systems with solar blankets or even kinetic energy that's generated as they're on the move. So we are ensuring that our soldiers on foot are just as agile and expeditionary as our bases are.
We're speaking with Catherine Hammack. She's the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and the Environment. So what does the plan call for the Army to do right away? What are the next steps to implement this vision?
Well, this is a strategy that takes us out through 2025. So this is a long-term vision, a long-term strategy. And, you know, one of the challenges that we have seen is that our budgets are shrinking. So we know we're not going to be able to do this on our own. One part of the strategy is to drive innovation. And every day we have Army scientists, engineers, and planners using their extensive expertise to improve our operations and effectiveness. But we are also working to expand collaboration with industry and academia and even other federal agencies to develop sustainable and resilient solutions.
And I imagine it must take a look at the weight of things going into the future, the weight of what soldiers carry, the weight of even weapons platforms themselves, because the heavier they are, the more fuel they consume.
You're absolutely right, and it's a power weight volume issue. So we want something to either consume less power or generate more power, lighter weight, and smaller in volume. But we know we have to balance that against survivability and lethality. So it's a very interesting dynamic where we have to weigh all factors and ensure that what we are doing is ensuring the resiliency of the soldier, of the mission, and of the effectiveness of the Army as a whole.
Somehow I see more titanium and less magnesium in the future. And I wanted to ask you about water, because besides running out of fuel, the worst thing that can happen to an Army, besides an ammunition, is to run out of water.
Absolutely, but we're developing systems to generate water on the go. And these are really just fascinating things, but if you think about it, water is in the air that we breathe. And I'm sure you have a dehumidifier in your house, especially in some of these challenging, humid summers that we look forward to. And that wrings water out of the air, and that water can be treated for potable uses. We can also generate water from the condensation on tailpipes or some of the hot parts of the vehicles that we drive. So we're looking at how we can generate water on the go versus always having to extract it out of the ground.
Now, the Navy is pretty good at generating water. They make water aboard submarines. They make water, I think, aboard ships also. Is there any cross-service collaboration going on in this whole area of sustainability?
There is always a lot of cross-service collaboration going on, and a lot of the work that the Navy does is desalination. Right now, the Army has the largest inland desalination plant, and that is in Fort Bliss, Texas, right on the border of New Mexico, Mexico and Texas there. And what we're doing is we're extracting salt water, very briny water, from a trapped inland sea that was created centuries ago, desalinating that and using that water on our bases, because the local potable water aquifer is getting a little strained because of the growth in Juarez and the growth in El Paso, Texas.
All right, and what does it say about the Army installations in the United States, the bases themselves? What do you envision for them over the next 10, 15, 20 years?
We're installing a whole lot of renewable energy on our bases in the United States, and that's part of the long-term strategy, is to diversify our resource supply. And diversification of supply can mean many things. It can mean that you're tapped into the power grid from two different directions. So should a tornado take down one power line, you can obtain power from the grid from another direction. It can mean that you generate all your power from on-site sources. For an instance, Fort Drum, New York, is now operating entirely off of a biomass plant that is an old converted coal-fired plant. And so now it smells a little like wood fires around there, but they have a very high-tech, very efficient biomass plant that is utilizing some of the forestry clippings or timber, small diameter wood that has really no other use on the market. So it really takes a waste resource from going into the landfill and converts it to a productive reuse. So really what we're looking at is all sorts of sources to ensure that we can remain viable and sustainable through diversification.
So that's kind of like the modern version of the campfire and the do's and damps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of this is partnering with the private sector. And we know that we need to work with academia and industry to tap into the best technologies, innovative technologies, whether they can be combined heat and power systems or microgrids or, you know, who knows what the next renewable energy strategy or technology will be coming out of the various research labs around the United States. We just look forward to moving us forward to becoming more resilient and adaptable so we can complete the Army mission in the way this nation expects us to.
Catherine Hammack is the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and the Environment. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. You have a great day.